answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is a critical period. They have a period of, well, till tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I gave them an extension. They asked for an extension of 7 days. 10 days is up actually today, so I gave them 11, I guess, indirectly. I can tell you they're negotiating, we think, in good faith. We're going to find out. 8 o'clock Eastern time, and after that, they're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants. Stone Ages, yeah. The entire country can be taken out in one night.
That is President Trump with a very direct message to Iran. We could take out your entire civilization in one night. We've been talking and talking and extending deadlines. And of course, some on the left and even some Republicans are saying he's blustering and bluffing. Trump is not going to bluster and bluff. He will maybe embellish some things. He might go over the top sometimes, but this is a very direct statement. And the deadline for Iran is ticking tonight. I want to take a moment to remind you of something. The Iranian regime wants to hold tight to the Iranian people. They do not want them to be free. They want them under their rule constantly. We're not there to free the Iranians primarily. We're there to make sure Iran, as a terrorist nation, does not continue to have nuclear capabilities. That's why we hit what we did previously on Operation Hammer and Midnight Strike with Israel. They probably still have some enriched uranium. We should not be going inside deep into Iran to get it, and I don't think we will. I don't want us to. I don't think we need to. But they also had numerous missiles and drones still available, even though we have decimated much of it, and we've decimated their top command. But again, back to my point, the Iranians want to hold, the Iranian regime, I should say, want to hold control. Listen carefully here. Are you listening? Trump has made it clear that tonight we will hit every major bridge power plant you have. It would not surprise me if the regime begins to chain Iranians to those facilities, thinking we won't hit them because we'll be killing innocent people. And I pray that doesn't happen. I pray there are no innocent civilians killed. But that's the way you're having to deal with the devil, Iran. And they will use every means they can. They're already encouraging Iranians to gather at these sites. And again, I don't think they will just simply stop at encouraging. They will force them there, possibly chain them to the facilities, and wait for hell to break loose, so they can blame us on the world stage. We know they've already been recruiting kids as young as 12, claiming we're just going to use them at checkpoints. No, they've been using them in high-profile war areas, putting those children at risk. This time tomorrow, we'll have an idea of what actually has happened over this night. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. News, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more information than you have right now. I promise you that. We do it each and every hour for you. In our next hour, a closer look at Artemis II, fascinating historical journey. Man deeper into space than ever before, and what they saw on the far side of the moon. We'll get into that in more detail in our second hour. Later this hour, Why did Pam Bondi lose her job as Attorney General? Why? You might have an idea. And your idea might agree with the guest I'm going to have. Or you might totally disagree. That's still to come in this hour. And before this hour is over, our standard feature of the 6 o'clock hour now, the story behind the story. This time, Paula Sims. Many in Illinois especially often know that name and around the area. Paula Sims, convicted of killing her two baby girls. That story behind the story, still to come. Earlier, Bloomberg was also repeating what Trump had been threatening.
We did get another post on Truth Social by President Trump saying this, a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world, 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran.
God bless the great people of Iran. Trump does not want to do this. He does not want to wipe out all their infrastructure. He wants Iran to be a viable nation going forward. He wants them to be a partner with the rest of the world, not a terrorist nation. But it's come to this. And you know how some of the left is treating it? The leftist media, legacy media, the pieces of stuff, CNN, and they're running a quick little bite about Trump being questioned about his mental well-being. They never once raised that question, referenced Joe Biden, and he was doing really nothing. But now that Trump is doing this, oh, well, he must be maybe a little mentally off because he's pushing this. This is still for America and the world. Because we cannot allow a terrorist regime to have a nuclear weapon. I cannot stress that enough. Too many people want to tell you, oh, it's all about the oil and Iran and everything else, and we want to have a regime change and make a new nation. That might happen. But our concern is making sure Iran and the terrorist nation never have a nuclear weapon. And they have missiles already that can reach all the capitals in Europe. Trey Yeantz reporting on the latest from his position.
Fox News can confirm overnight the United States hit dozens of targets on Iran's Karg Island. This is the island responsible for more than 90% of Iran's oil exports. Fox's Jennifer Griffin says the targets included bunkers, radar stations, and ammunition storage. As this was taking place, the clock is ticking as it relates to that deadline President Trump laid out Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, just about 12 hours from now, before Iran must make a deal with the United States or the president says he will order strikes against Iranian power plants and bridges. This is what the president had to say yesterday from the White House.
We have a plan because of the power of our military where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean, complete demolition by 12 o'clock. And it'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen.
He truly doesn't want it. He wants it still there. So when we can go into Iran or help Iran rebuild, they don't have to start totally from scratch. But sometimes you have to wipe the board clean and start from scratch. Once again, Trey Yeantz.
The president in this post on Truth Social, though, says a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. And so certainly questions to ask the president today about the context of this post on Truth Social and possible plans for the United States and what the list of targets may look like and the type of munition that would be used against the Iranians if he moves forward with strikes against the regime. Again, this is the final moment here, an off-ramp for the Iranians. The president, it appears in this post on Truth Social, official is once again putting the most amount of pressure possible on the regime in order to encourage them to make an agreement. The sense that I got from the president is that he doesn't want to have to take this action, but he is willing to do it if the Iranians are still unwilling to make a good faith deal.
And I want to remind you that their terrorist network spread all around the world, and including inside our nation, who came across our border unvetted, unchecked by the open border policy of Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. Could rise up at any point. There are numerous reports happening elsewhere around the world. One coming out of Istanbul. An attacker killed in shooting near the Israeli consulate. Details still developing on that. An Emirate newspaper pointing out, as of this morning, they've heard nationwide numerous blasts, and especially referenced Karg Island. The Times of Israel reported the same, as did the Iranian state propaganda site. It's already underway, and it's going to escalate. And by midnight Central Time, could we see an entire civilization wiped out because of what these terrorists insist on doing? Is there any sanity still in Iran? Can it be heard? Can it speak out without being cut down by the insane? And what are the Dems currently saying? The leftists said they're pretty quiet overall because they're waiting to see which way the wind's blowing. They want to go ahead and condemn Trump. Who cares? Let me point this out to you. Let me remind you what one prominent Democrat said about Iran back in 2008.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Do you recognize a voice? I'm sure you do. Yes, it is Hillary Benghazi Clinton in 2008 saying, if I'm elected president, I will destroy Iran. Obama, of course, ended up winning that election, and he made a deal with Iran later in his closing years of his presidency to allow them to have nuclear capability, but also saying they will not have a nuclear weapon on my watch. That was in the closing months of his two-year term. So they weren't going to have it in 2 months, but they were going to have it at some point if it continued. But Hillary Clinton herself said in 1968, I want Iran to know if I'm elected president, I will come to destroy you. Where is that attitude now in the left? And why were so many on the left at that time not calling out Hillary? Why are you talking like that? What's wrong with Iran? No one challenged her. Not one leftist came out and said, you're an idiot. You shouldn't be saying that. Not one. Because they recognize the fact and the truth. They should recognize that now, but because Trump is president, they want to denounce everything that's happening. Four-star retired General Jack King says Iran knows right now, this hour, they are against the wall.
Given the pressure on the Iranians, I suspect they are negotiating quite genuinely here, because I'm convinced they want this to stop. I know for a fact that our bombing last night was the highest level of the war last night.
Wow.
So there's huge pressure on them as a result of what's taken place.
Yeah.
I do have a bias here. I would like to continue this to the end, to the 2 to 3 weeks, so we can accomplish all of our assigned objectives. And then try to make a deal with the Iranians when we really have got them back on their heels, close to an economic collapse, and potentially, eventually, a change in a regime that would take place down the road.
And down the road. But again, we're not in the nation building. We're trying to keep a nation from having a nuclear weapon who would try to use it to destroy not just Israel, not just the Mideast, but the world possibly. And I remind you again, every American, wherever you are, you will be a target of the Iranian terrorist. I have no doubt. I have no doubt we have cells of them, even if they're individuals, individual jihadists in our nation. And look for them to strike out. I don't tell you that to frighten you. I tell that to you to make sure, keep your head on a swivel and be aware of what's happening around you and watch constantly what's happening. The World Health Organization stepping forward and saying, Iran's call, dealing with the U.S., peace is the best medicine. But Iran doesn't want peace, not the Iranian regime. The people do. And then we also had to keep in mind what we've seen exposed during all of this. And that is how NATO members have been treating our nation in a time of need. Secretary of State Rubio.
When we need them to allow us to use their military bases, their answer is no. Then why are we in NATO? You have to ask that question. Why do we have billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars over the years, trillions of dollars, and all these American forces stationed in the region? If we can only use it, in our time of need, we're not going to be allowed to use those bases. So I think there's no doubt, unfortunately, after this conflict is concluded, we are going to have to re-examine that relationship. We're going to have to re-examine the value of NATO and that alliance for our country. Ultimately, that's a decision for the president to make, and he'll have to make it. We're going to finish the job here. As I said, we're very, very close to achieving our objectives on all of these things that I've outlined. But I do think, unfortunately, we are going to have to re-examine whether or not this alliance that has served this country well for a while is still serving that purpose, or is it now become a one-way street where America is simply in a position to defend Europe, but when we need the help of our allies, they're going to deny us basing rights and they're going to deny us overflight? I think these are very legitimate questions that we need to be asking, and this are going to have to be very carefully examined after this conflict is over.
Absolutely. And again, I remind you, a commentary I was running previously. If you have a friend that's like a shadow, you don't want them. The shadow is with you during the bright, sunny days. Oh, they're right there beside you, following you, mimicking you. But in the dark times, the shadow disappears. And that's what we've seen with our NATO nations. Coming up, the firing of A.G. Bondi. And the story behind the story, Paula Sims. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. It's that time of season when families' businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The other day when President Trump said he was going to replace Attorney General Pam Bondi, there were many, including on the right, that were very happy about that. And part of it is they did not like the way she'd been handling the Jeffrey Epstein case. But was there more to it? In fact, the question really is, why was she fired? My next guest has his opinion, John Gordon, student, former journalist as well, business owner, Trump-endorsed Republican candidate for Georgia Attorney General in 2022. So, this legal expert, John Gordon, why did Pam Bondi lose her job? Your first impression.
Well, President Trump runs policy for, as the president of the United States. Susie Wiles runs the White House, and she had an interview with Vanity Fair a couple of months ago, and she said in that article that Pam Bondi.
Which one? When you say she, I want to make sure you're talking about Bondi or Wiles.
I'm talking about Bondi. Okay. I'm talking about Susie Wiles speaking about Pam Bondi.
Okay.
And she said that Pam Bondi had whiffed on the Epstein files. When I read that, I had the suspicion that her goose was cooked.
Yeah, I read the same thing, but I didn't know that it would necessarily cause the pot not just to simmer, but boil over.
Well, I don't think it was just that, but, you know, we had been promised transparency and accountability, and I'm similarly disappointed in Kash Patel, who I had a lot of confidence in going in. He promised us he was going to unravel all the secrets that have been bundled up inside of this federal government, which it is my considered opinion is rotten to its core. And he has promised us the moon and has delivered us very little.
John, I had a guest on earlier this week talking about he believes there's still a swamp and it's inside the White House this time.
It's hard to tell. I've tried to find where the wizard is, and I've looked behind a lot of curtains, and I can't find it.
Well, you have to play. If you're taking that approach, do you not have to point direct to Trump?
I don't know. That's a simple question. I think it deserves a more thoughtful answer. Truthfully, it is my impression that he is in a dangerous place, and I mean physically. And I worry about his safety, and I pray for his safety.
Right.
And I think that he has to be aware that the deep state is real. I mean, I know we know he is. In fact, he was quoted as saying after his first term that if he had realized how bad it was, he never would have run for president.
Yeah.
And I suspect that he recognizes the reality, and he's on a high wire and has to walk very carefully. That's my giving him the benefit of the doubt. That's my impression.
All right. Well, let me break down a couple things here. When it came to Pam Bondi and the Epstein files, did she overpromise and underdeliver, or overpromise and just not deliver, in your opinion?
I would say more of the latter. I mean, I don't think there was much that we learned from the dump. There was some information that we gleaned. We found out who some of the co-conspirators were. But there was so much that was redacted. And I think we've only gotten half the files. If I'm not mistaken, there were 6 million pages, and we've gotten 3 million pages. But she really lost her credibility with me when she called those social media influencers to the White House in January and gave them a book labeled the Epstein files, and it was just a bunch of nothing. And it was, I felt like we were being played for fools. I would assume those influencers felt the same.
Well, everybody
out of it, parading them out of the West Wing.
Everybody loves a dog and pony show unless you're the butt of the joke.
Yeah, I think that she ended up being the butt of the joke, and I think it backfired on her. So I think it's a series of things that caused her demise, and the Epstein was certainly front and center.
And why is the Epstein case so vital, so important, especially for Republicans and MAGA Republicans?
I think it signifies what we all suspect, and that is that, like I said, there is rot inside the federal government. And I think it typifies that because we know Alex Acosta, when he was being considered for an appointment that required Senate confirmation, was asked why did he go light in the prosecution of Jeffrey Epstein. He was the South Florida prosecutor. And he said, because I was told to, because he was into intel. And I think that is what we suspect behind a lot of this stuff. You know, the person who took a crack at President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th, 2024, have the fingerprints of intel all over it. And I'm very concerned about the narrative that we've been fed on Charlie Kirk, who I knew, who is one of the smartest people I've ever known, who I consider to be an American treasure. He was devout. He was a patriot, and he was having an effect at drawing young people to God and to country. And we should celebrate that. Instead, he was snatched from us.
In your remarks, sir, you're suggesting there's a right-wing conspiracy behind it, as opposed to, we know the hating left wanted him removed as well.
Well, what did I say that indicated that there's a right-wing conspiracy? I never used those words.
No, you did not, John. You're a lawyer, and I'm not going to argue that point with you. I'll concede that.
Well, no, I'm just saying I am alleging there's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's right-wing, left-wing, or just demonic.
Well, you mentioned intel. And when you said intel, I assume you meant government intel was involved.
Totally.
Okay.
100%.
So that says conspiracy at the federal level. And that right now we have Trump and other Republicans supposedly in charge.
Well, go back to my earlier remarks. They are ostensibly in charge, but John F. Kennedy proved that you cannot act independently without bringing the other agencies along, because now we know that the CIA and Lyndon Johnson assassinated Kennedy, and Hoover covered it up. anyone who doesn't believe that has either not looked or is in some state of denial.
Well, I don't have time to go back over all of that, but I do want to ask you this. Who do you think will be the next AG? We've got an acting now. Who do you think would be there, and could they be successful or not?
I think it depends on how you define success. Can they survive the next 2 years without getting the boot? I do think Todd Blanche strikes me as being a very capable and truthful person. I just go back to this notion that I have that the reality is that you're living in a very tough environment. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem that the law or right and wrong always governs the outcome of the decisions that are made.
Well, let me go to one other thing in our closing minute here. You have lack of trust, no trust, little trust in Patel.
I am left of neutral, meaning skewing towards diminished trust in Cash. Because the promises that he made have not been fulfilled even a little bit. And I think that we need a cleansing in America, and all the secrets need to come out. Trust the American people to handle it. But that will then lead to the reform that we need. You know, the CIA effectively rescued that Air Force officer that was hiding in the mountains for 2 days while we came and found him. They do an awful lot of good work. And I believe that the largest part of the CIA are good, patriotic heroes. I also believe that there's a cancer inside that agency and other alphabet agencies that operate outside the laws and the Constitution, and that needs to change.
John, I want to thank you for your time and your input. And again, John had run as a Trump-endorsed Republican candidate for Attorney General in Georgia in 2022, has his own radio show, The Truth with John Gordon. John, I want to thank you, and we'll probably be reaching out for you in the future once we have a new AG confirmed and see what happens next.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and enjoyed talking to you.
You bet, John. Thank you very much. John Gordon. Yeah, there are a lot of questions, and of course, there were more things we could get into, and I'm sorry I was not going to take time to get into the JFK assassination all over again. I'll leave that to you. You can say that I'm covering up if you want to, but I'm up against a clock, and I know what my restraints are on time. And one of the things we still have to cover before we wrap up this hour is a feature many of you have come to really enjoy, the story behind the story. This time, Paula Sims, the woman convicted of killing two baby girls.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Robert and Paula Sims had recently moved into this frame home in the St. Louis suburb of Alton, Illinois. Neighbors described the Sims as a quiet and private couple who spent most of their free time with their children.
They really seemed to be living the American dream. That was one of the things that was so intriguing about the story, to have this kind of violence, this kind of tragedy visited on such an all-American couple. That was what really turned the story for us at the beginning.
When police were called to the Sims' home on April 19, 1989, they heard details of an unusual crime. Paula said she was taking out the trash just after 10 p.m. when a masked man armed with a gun forced her back inside the house. And knocked her unconscious with a blow to the back of her head. That was the last thing she remembered before her husband found her on the floor 45 minutes later. Their infant daughter, Heather, was missing, but the area around the bassinet was undisturbed. Police could find no foreign fingerprints or footprints, and no valuables were missing.
We stayed there at the scene, it seemed like forever. I know we were there for a good half day. We looked everywhere, every conceivable place where that child might have been, we looked.
Assuming the worst, police also searched the bottom of the Mississippi River near the Sims' home.
That was 1989. As the Paula Sims story began to come out, and I remember being as a reporter for Channel 4 at the time, we were all over the story as to what happened. I mean, a mother claims that she goes out to empty the trash and a guy hits her from behind, she said, with a gun. It never was clear to me, a question that I never really got answered. If she didn't see him, how did she know he had a gun? But all she knew that she had been hit, supposedly. And obviously, investigators had a lot of questions as well. She had had a son in 1988 as well, but that boy continued living. But then we had, after the death of her first daughter, 13 days old, Lorelei, was found in a wooded ravine behind their home in Brighton, Jersey County. They moved from Jersey County to Madison County. And Lorelei's death became a cold crime. And all of that happened in June of 1986. Jump ahead to April 29, 1989, is when Paula reported that she was attacked in the home. And again, her baby kidnapped and taken. Now, that's two. That obviously has to raise questions, doesn't it? Obviously. And she said when she finally regained consciousness, and apparently just as her husband, Robert, came into the home, he apparently helped wake her. Their six-week-old baby girl was missing. And again, the whole case was being treated as a kidnapping. But the crime scene and everything else didn't really validate what she had to say. And then Heather was found.
4 days later, Charles Saunders was fishing on the Missouri side of the Mississippi River. Around noon, as Saunders was about to leave, he stopped to empty some trash into a barrel. Inside, he noticed a large black garbage bag. Because of its size, it looked suspicious. Inside, he discovered the well-preserved remains of a dead baby girl. Homicide investigators converged on the parking lot where the body of a baby girl was found in a garbage can.
Lying on her back, face up, her head tilted to one side, still rather pink. Appeared that if you'd look at her, you'd think at first she was asleep. But she was in fact dead.
The fact that she was rather pink raised a question, considering how long she'd been missing. We'll come back to that in a moment. I will tell you that after the body was found in the barrel, obviously everything intensified. And again, I spent some nights at the Alton Police Department talking to some of the investigators, and they all suspected Paula and possibly her husband Robert were directly involved. There was no kidnapping, not of a second baby girl. What are the odds of that? What was behind it? Well, of course, the autopsy would also reveal vital information. The autopsy carried out by Mary Case.
Medical examiner Dr. Mary Case performed the autopsy. One of the first things she noticed, three small vertical cuts on the inside of the baby's lip.
Obviously, this is not, for example, a sudden infant death, which is a natural death. It's not a death by accident. It's not a death by suicide. So it's a homicidal death. And when I begin the examination, there is no gunshot wound, there's no stab wound, there's no battering, and the inner lip showed changes that I associated with someone placing their hand over the nose and mouth and causing suffocation.
When death occurs, blood settles in parts of the body closest to the ground. This is called postmortem lividity and is usually dark red or purple in color. Heather's face showed signs of lividity, but it was cherry red in color. This told Dr. Case that the body had been placed in a freezer during the time lividity occurs, 8 to 12 hours after death. And there was another clue. The body had been frozen.
The external appearance was that there was no decomposition. When I looked internally, and then I even had to look microscopically at those internal organs to see this, but there was early decomposition beginning, but it was a little bit more advanced than externally.
Dr. Case concluded that Heather Sims had been suffocated, placed in a freezer face down, then placed in the trash bin face up either the night before or the morning that the body was discovered.
All of those clips are from a Forensic Files episode, which has been and has previously aired on TV under the Forensic Files label. And I've interviewed Dr. Case over the years I've been in the St. Louis area on numerous cases. And she obviously was well documented to make these findings. And I'd also interviewed the man who was involved in prosecuting the case directly, Assistant District Attorney Don Weber.
Assistant State's Attorney Don Weber was keeping a close eye on this case. There was no evidence linking Paula or Robert Sims to the crime, but Weber decided to take a closer look at their story. Something Robert Sims told the FBI disturbed him.
He'd made the statement to the FBI that during the time that Heather was reported missing and the time she was found, that they had had the longest lasting and best sex that they'd ever had. And that is such a startling statement to me.
I couldn't, and I don't believe the other people involved in the case could really think that would be a normal response after your baby was kidnapped.
And when authorities looked into the couple's past, they found an alarming coincidence.
So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
3 years earlier, while living in another town, the Sims' first daughter, Lorelei, had also been kidnapped. It was the same scenario. Robert was at work, and Paula said a masked intruder confronted her in the house and kidnapped her baby. A few weeks later, the infant's skeletal remains were found scattered in a field behind the Sims' home. Although authorities had their suspicions at the time, they could find no evidence linking Robert or Paula Sims to Lorelei's murder.
The remains appeared to have been moved by some type of animal. The quality of the remains were of such that the investigation could not be put together as far as making a case of murder. The Simses themselves became even stronger suspects after that. And in my opinion, is that they got away with murder.
And that was the coincidence to find out prior to the death of Heather, there'd been another daughter who had died. And why? And what actually helped pin directly the crimes to Paula Sims? Well, the FBI did detailed work on the trash bag.
When the FBI discovered that the Heather Sims garbage bag came from the same roll of bags in the Sims kitchen, they were now convinced that Paula Sims was involved in her daughter's disappearance. Investigators learned that Paula and Robert Sims had an unusual marital relationship, a relationship Charles Bosworth described in his book, Precious Victims.
When Paula brought the little girls home from the hospital, she was essentially ousted from the marital bedroom. In the first case, she and Lorelei slept in the basement, which was where the family room was. It was a walkout basement.
Only after Lorelei's death did Paula sleep upstairs again with her husband. A year after Lorelei's death, Paula gave birth to a son, Randy. And in 1989, after moving to Alton, Illinois, the Sims had another baby, this time a daughter, Heather. In the hospital, Paula reportedly told her roommate that she didn't want another daughter, that she and Robert preferred boys.
The evidence clearly suggested that boys were fine, little girls were not welcome. we were told repeatedly by witnesses that Robert adored the little boy and was just completely uninterested in the little girls, even in the hospital after their births.
When Paula brought Heather home, separate sleeping arrangements started again. Paula and Heather in the living room, Robert and 2-year-old Randy upstairs.
And one of the comments that Paula made to one of her friends was that these sleeping arrangements are going to have to stop, or I'm going to have to do something about it.
And something about it was to get rid of the baby girls. She was eventually convicted and even later confessed. And she was given a life sentence at Logan Correctional Center in Lincoln. Later, Governor J.B. Pritzker granted her executive clemency, changing her sentence from life without the possibility of parole to life with the possibility of parole. The response from the Madison County State's Attorney Tom Hain was, "No one from my office even participated in the parole hearing, and they voted 12-1 in favor of giving her parole." He said, "Life should mean life. Two babies are dead. At the time of this trial, she still insisted she was not guilty." And she did. Later did confess and claim postpartum depression. So she was released and on parole. There's one other development in the story, behind the story. In 2015, Robert Sims, who was never convicted of anything to do with the death of the babies, and their only remaining child, the boy who had lived, Robert and his son Randall died in a car accident in 2015. The story behind the story of Paula Sims. Many of you might recall bits and pieces of it. That's what we do with the story behind the story. Sometimes take a story that you knew about or heard about. Sometimes something you did. And something sometimes just entirely different, which we will have tomorrow. Our second hour is yet to come. And remember our pledge. One nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.